in your bulletin, I always try to write the main idea of what this sermon is about. And we're going to keep it very short this evening. But are we worshiping the event of Christ coming to the earth? Or are we worshiping the why Christ came to this world? And some of us may say, well, they're one and the same. And that may be true. If it's truly about who Christ is and why did he come, as opposed to all of the things that modern society sees in Christmas, which really has gone away in many aspects. And it's become commercialized to the point that you're almost wondering why we're doing this anymore as a commercial event. But are we really worshiping Jesus Christ and why he came? And the why being, what was it? You just heard it there. You can talk in here. It's okay. You know, it's like one of those churches that, man, you can't say a word in there. You'll get thrown out, you'll get excommunicated. No, we don't do that. Christ came to forgive people of their sin, right? Amen. Because we could never do that. And when was that planned? When did God come to this conclusion that this needed to be done? Before time began. Before Genesis 1:1. And if you have to go all the way to Revelation to find that answer. Revelation 13:8. Revelation 13, and most of my congregation, they hear me use this verse a lot. But Revelation 13 is really about the Antichrist. And John is talking about when is the Antichrist coming and all of those things. And right kind of in the middle of that chapter, as he's talking about those that will worship the Antichrist, except those whose name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And I meant to find a blueprint of the galaxy, like that would fit on the computer screen, right? Carrie surely has one that I could borrow. Can you imagine what the blueprint of the galaxy would look like? It'd be fascinating, but it'd also blow my mind. But before God ever planned any of that, before he hung the stars and the planets and put them in their orbits and all of that stuff and created a universe that's expanding and still expanding, as Einstein told us, the cross was already planned and put in place. Christ was already, he already knew he would go to his grave through the cross and be resurrected before Genesis 1:1 ever even came into play. He knew his mission. And it would take several thousand years for that to play out, as we've seen. And he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. One of the members of the Trinity would come to Mary and say, "Hail, favored one, you are blessed." And I'm sure for a 13 to 15-year-old, ladies, put yourself in that position. For us guys, it would scare the snot out of me, you know. But to be in that position and to be placed with that gift or burden, however you would see it, and what God is calling you to do, and spend the next 9 months carrying this child, and then a lifetime raising the Christ child, not probably fully understanding what that looks like or what is that going to entail, and not knowing that when he's 13, he's going to stay at the temple and you're going to leave the city, and you know, it's kind of like you're on Route 66 and you left your child in Amarillo and got to Clovis and what do we do with Fred? And you have to turn around and go back. You know, and they had to turn around and go back. and they found Christ in the temple. But also in those first verses that Brian and Tess just read, Joseph was of the lineage of who? David. And why is that so important? I mean, it is absolutely foundational to who Christ is, because he has to come from the line of Judah. And David fulfills that. And incidentally, so does Mary through a different path. But that sets up who he is, that he is a king. And the gifts that those wise men bring, however many they were truly gifts that only a king would receive. They were not common everyday Legos or that kind of thing, toys that a child would get. A priestly king is going to receive the absolute very best: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and those kinds of things. And she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that's all of us. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have been saved. And hopefully there are those in your life that you are working with to get them to that point, that they would receive Christ. And what better time than now? And they would also call his name Emmanuel. And so Christ was born. And as I was preparing for this and really praying about, God, what do you want me to say? Because we all know this story. We hear it. And he answered that prayer. And what I found was, Alan, if you want to show, this is a common, is that TV on back there? The Watchtower. If we go to Micah, one of those very well-known red books, if we go to Micah chapter 4, verse 8, as for you, the Hebrew word is as for you, Migdal Eder, which translates tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come, even the former dominion will come. And what does that mean? The tower of the flock. All of the lambs that were used for temple sacrifice, a lamb was sacrificed every single morning at the temple, and another lamb was sacrificed every single evening. And this went on for years. And so there had to be a lot of lambs to make sure that was happening, as well as other special Passover and all of the feasts. A lot of livestock were used for all of those events. All of the lambs had to come from, they had to be temple certified. And the only place that took place was at Beit Lechem, Bethlehem. And so the shepherds in that area, they were Levitical priest shepherds. That was their function. They were trained. I spent almost 30 years in the meat industry, and I worked with a lot of kosher Jewish rabbis, and that process is very structured, strict. When the rabbi takes that large, the knife is about this long, and when he slices through the neck, and then he looks at the blade as he washes it, and if there's a tiny nick in that blade, it goes in the trash because something marred that blade. And he goes and gets a new one. I mean, that's how strict the process is. These lambs had to be certified that they were pure, that they were raised by these shepherds, that they would be birthed in the Migdal Eder, in the watchtower. And there weren't watchtowers throughout the whole land, and watchtowers served a lot of other purposes. Soldiers stood on them and kept watched, you know, for security reasons and those kinds of things. But the rabbinical, Levitical shepherds used it to watch over their flocks. And only during the lambing season, would they be in the field keeping track of their flocks? December, January, February are the rainy months in Israel. And you would not be out in the field keeping track because you're going to get wet. But in March, it dries out and the grass comes. And the shepherds take their flocks. And that's when the birthing season, the lambing season happens. And so those shepherds are watching from that watchtower, the tower of the flock. And when a lamb, when a ewe is showing that she's going to give birth, she goes into the bottom floor of that tower. And she gives birth. And that lamb is swaddled and placed into a manger. And a manger looked like this. Wood was not used in Israel for mangers. They were carved out of stone. And that's about 8 inches deep in that trough. And the lamb was placed in there, swaddled, as you would swaddle a baby, so that they knew that this would be, this lamb had a chance to be perfect. Because that's what it had to be. 1 year in the future, this is happening at Passover. And that's when Christ would have been born. Because the lamb had to be 1 year old when he went to the slaughter process 1 year later at the Passover. I mean, Christ was obviously more than 1 year old. But he had to follow, he fulfilled all of the aspects of the law, as Scripture tells us. And so he had to go through that same process. And I find it just fascinating that God would use all of those pieces. So when the shepherds were told the Christ child has been born, they knew exactly where to go. They lived there every day. And so they went to the Migdal Eder and they found the Christ child to worship. And at some point, Mary and Joseph moved out of there into a house. Somewhere in the first 2 years of Christ's birth, the Magi, the X number of wise men come bearing gifts. They were not there the night of the birth. They were there months later. But it's just fascinating how God put all of that together. Because the Magi would have had to know months, maybe a year in advance, to allow travel time to get from east of Babylon, near India, wherever it was, to travel to Jerusalem and get there and follow. So they also had to know celestial patterns of stars and all of that kind of stuff to know when is the star going to appear that we can get there and travel. In Bethlehem, in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago. Therefore, from the days of eternity, thus Revelation 13:8. Bethlehem Ephratah was planned before the foundation of the world. Therefore, he will give them up until a time when she who is in labor has borne a child, then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. Israel will go through periods of war and struggle because God will give them up because of their sin. But at some point in the future, the Messiah will come and he will reclaim the brothers. Really, all of those within Christendom. His days are from the old, from eternity. And then lastly, a son will be given, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace on the throne of David or over his kingdom. And we're part of that kingdom. to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Praise God that we have someone on the throne who truly is in control, although some days you wonder what's going on in this place. But Christ truly is, and God, the Trinity is there. And that this Christ child, he is the one who has the government on his shoulders, and it will be there. And we're waiting. I think we're very close to that event, but time will tell. But praise God for all that he has planned from all of eternity until now, and what is still yet to come. Let's pray. We could have the worship team come up. Father, we just praise you for the gift of the message of the birth of the Christ child, the coming of this Messiah, that he would forgive us of our sins, that he would go to the cross and take our place, a place that we could never pay, the debt that is owed because of the sin nature that is within us. Father, we just give you praise for the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you praise for all those who are here tonight and in other churches as well, worshiping the advent, the coming of the Christ, as we eagerly await that second advent for whenever that is. And I just pray for your blessing and your watch care over all of these here this evening for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.